Good morning, church. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for that that introduction, exaggerating a little bit how great I am. But I don't hear that enough. I'm glad to be here today. Today's an exciting day for me. How about the band this morning? Were they rocking or what? Hallelujah. And our pastor, Carl, the father of this house, my spiritual father, and Brenda, they're not here this morning. They're in some undisclosed location watching. And if you're also watching on Facebook today, this service, send out a little greeting to Pastor Carl and Pastor Brenda. They'll be see it immediately. They're following this service live. I thank Pastor Carl and his confidence in me that he could leave the church and allow me. He can't come running up and stop me at any time. If he sends a little comment and says, "You're getting out of line, Brian," I mean, how long will that take? So I appreciate that. I appreciate Pastor Carl's confidence in me. I love this man. I love this man. I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I would be without him. You know, we've been in a church. It was only like 3 years old when we came. And I owe a lot to him. I'm looking forward to spending the last few days before we leave. Yes, we've been here for 6 months. 6 months, a long time. Long time, but we came. We were burned out, confused. The pandemic had affected us. We'd gotten the fever and the cough, and you know, and a lot of. And we came here, and we thank our family and friends. Florence is family. Florence is friends, and Abundant Life is our community. And we appreciate all the attention we've gotten. I appreciate my family that they surrounded us, and we've been built back up. And I appreciate Abundant Life, too. He's not here today. He's beside Marcia's side. She just had surgery, but Rolf Hargrove took me deer hunting. He baited the deer. He'd been throwing the corn out. He let me go up in his deer stand. He handed me his rifle, even put the bullet in it for me. And he told me there's a deer, and so I shot it and killed a deer. And so I've got good friends here in this church from along. I haven't been to throw axes yet with Michael Morris. Maybe we can squeeze that in before we go, but Abundant Life is family. Abundant Life is friends. This is our community. Can you say the same thing? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So yes, when we came after 20 years, we weren't sure if that was the end of our stint. Most missionaries serve 4 years, 2 years, and they come back. And we've been out there 20 years, and I saw clearly that it was a good point that we could say mission accomplished. And we came back, and but the Lord has spoken. We have a charge. We have a commission. We are to return. So we heard that clearly. We thank Pastor Carl for his prophetic word over us, and also my friend William Rhodes. He also gave us a prophetic word and, you know, lots of praying. And we know we're going back with the Lord's covering, with the Lord's anointing, for another project. We're going to be going back, but it's not the same thing. We're going back to Nicaragua, but we're going to move our base. We've been in Managua. Our base has been in Managua, the capital, for 20 years, and we've seen tremendous fruit and established churches and working with the pastors in that area. But through EFI, we now work with pastors in different cities: Esteli, Masaya, El Viejo, Chinandega. And so what we're going to do is we've decided we're going to focus on one city, Chinandega. It's 2 hours away from Managua. We work with some pastors there, and we feel like there's an effectual door of ministry opening to us to such an extent that we need to move, and base ourselves in Chinandega. There's so much to do. In Managua, the majority of the population is evangelical Christianity now, and the minority is Catholicism. It happened in the last 20 years. I can't take all the credit for that when I went 20 years ago, the majority was Catholic, and now 20 years later, the majority is evangelical in the capital city. I can't take full credit for that, because it's been a move of God. And in Chinandega, the majority is Catholic, and the minority is evangelical, and God sent us there. We're excited. We're excited. We work with some great pastors, and there's two good friends of mine, Osvaldo and Byron, great friends of mine. We've done conferences with them, And they pastor pastors. And so we're not starting from scratch. These men are already my friends. I've been working for them for years. We've done lots of conferences with them. I have Bible schools operating right now with them. And they have pastors that they meet with regularly. We got some pictures of the gatherings of pastors. This is one group. This is Biden's group. And then Osvaldo has a group also, a group of pastors. So we're going to go to Chinandega, and we've just upped it up a notch. And the word of the Lord is we're going to plant hundreds of churches. Amen. We want your prayers. We want your prayers. Please keep us in your prayers so that we can fulfill our call, and we know we have your backing. Be as generous as you can. This church is very generous. What the Red Cross is doing, what Abundant Life is doing all over the earth. The pandemic is your time to be generous. You've been staying at home a lot more and burning less gasoline, especially you guys with those big hog trucks. Those trucks with big hammies in them, all that. You've been staying home a lot more. So be as generous as you can during the pandemic. Amen? Yeah. God is providing. He's doing great things. And he hasn't stopped moving since the pandemic started. We're going to get into the Word now. I'm going to try to treat you and pamper you as Pastor Carl does. He's not taking... Have you noticed that? He's been shortening the length and all that. And I'm the one that complains always about long-winded preachers, so I don't want to be that one this morning. We're going to talk today about happy with His holiness. Happy with His holiness. Happy with His holiness. Go with me to John chapter 13 and verse 23. John 13, 23. And you at home, you watching by Facebook, this is going to be a part, you're going to participate this morning. We have the Holy Ghost here, where two or three are gathered in His name. He is there in His midst. He is filling this room from wall to wall. There's an anointing here to heal. There's an anointing here to understand and to receive the Word of God. There's an anointing here, and He's pouring out His Spirit. And right where you're at, get into a participatory mode and get your Bible out and follow in, follow in. John 13, verse 23 and 24. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. We don't always have to do this, and you at home, get plugged in with what's going on here. God's got a word for you this morning. God's got a word for us, and His word is gives life, and His word is spirit, and we're going to receive it today. Amen. John 13, 23 and 24. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to Him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." We're going to take those verses, not going to distort them or adulterate them, but just focus in on those two verses, because there's something going on in the Lord's Supper. We're learning about how the disciples relate to Jesus in the Lord's Supper. In these two verses, one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to Him. Simon Peter motioned to the disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Let us pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the word of the Lord. I thank you, Father, that your spirit is in this word. This word is spirit and it's life. And Father, if we can receive it, we receive seed, we receive life. Father, this morning, I pray for the hearers, and I pray for me, Lord, that I would not step outside of my boundaries, but I would speak as you inspire me. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to talk this morning a little bit about my take on holiness. My take on holiness, and I put the title, Happy with His Holiness. Happy with His Holiness. This is it'll try to be short. And don't go long, but you'll get the message. And it's my take on holiness. Holiness is being close to Jesus. There's no holiness without being close to Jesus. If you're not close to Jesus, you might have certain moral, religious conduct, but it's religiosity. It's religiosity. Holiness is being close with Jesus. Now, I live in the Palmetto State, and we have Palmetto bugs. And a lot of times, we as people, we act like palmetto bugs. And when the light comes on, a bug will run and hide. And sometimes regarding the presence of God and being close to God, sometimes we act like palmetto bugs. But we aren't palmetto bugs. We aren't palmetto bugs. He's calling us to his presence, calling us to be close to him. And there's a reluctance. When Adam and Eve sinned, they went and hid in the bushes. You know, when God was walking through the garden, he said, "Where are you?" And they said, "Here we are, we're afraid." You know? So this morning, my take on holiness is being close to Jesus and being happy with his holiness. You know, a king, they say, "Your Majesty." The Pope, I think they say, whatever they say to the Pope, it might be his holiness. But we know the only one that's holy is God. Happy with his holiness. Not running away. And there was one disciple in the Last Supper here in this scene where he's resting against Jesus' bosom. He's so close to Jesus. And the other disciples, when they want to know something, they tell John to ask Jesus. Now that lets you know who's closer, right? And who are you and who am I? These past 35, 36 years since I became a Christian, I can tell you God called me to be a witness. He called me to be happy. He promised me a good life. He promised me that I would be happy if I would follow him. And he hasn't unfulfilled his word. You're looking at a happy guy here. You're looking at a happy guy, and I'm looking at a bunch of happy faces, and this is our bubble, and this is where we come, and we get into a stronger dose of God's presence. Can you give him a hand clap this morning? Because being close to him is a blessed state. And John had that privilege. And which disciple was on the earth the longest time? Which disciple was on the earth the longest time? And the other disciple, is he going to get taken out pretty soon? Because Jesus told, you know, they told Peter, "You're not going to last too long. They're going to, you know, martyr you." And he said, "What about this guy over here?" And Jesus said, "What's it to you?" John got the picture. John got the message. John knew what it's all about. It's all about being close to Jesus. And so Jesus let him stay here longer. Amen. He doesn't always, if you're close to Jesus and you're the one walking with him and spending time with him and you got that good relationship with him, you might not last longer than everybody else. John did. But he does promise you with long life, "I'll satisfy you." Somebody needs to know that God's got a promise in the word, in the Bible. It says, "With long life, I will satisfy you." You know, it was scary when the fever, go ahead, give God praise this morning. That promise is out there. It was scary when I had the fever. I had it before Millie did. I had the fever, and in my youth, I had bronchitis a lot, and I know what it is to not be able to get enough oxygen and to be like suffocating. And then every day you say, "Is it going to get worse? Is it going to go down to my lungs?" You know, and it was just anxiety and fear. But I tell you what, I grabbed hold of God and got close to God, and we're going to read a psalm at the end of this message, a psalm that's going to help. A help in this situation we're going through. But you know, I didn't get taken out by it, you know. But I really got close to God. And this pandemic is for us to get close to God. And I'm speaking to anybody that's got symptoms, anybody that's already tested positive. Jesus is with you and he has healing power. And this is your time to get really close to him. Get really close to him and talk to him. And then Millie got it. And Millie got it, and all the coughing and hacking going on, and day after day, and checking her fever, and she's still got the fever, and for a week, you know, with the fever, and, you know, is it going to get bad? Is God going to take my wife from me? And, you know, and she, I'm sure she had to deal with those things, too. How many of you had symptoms? Don't raise your hand. But being close to him, like the song said, We just heard a song a little while. The last words were, "I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." I tell you what, the music, I heard the music today, and I said, I'm right on tune. I'm playing in harmony with the band this morning. Amen. And so John was on great speaking terms with Jesus, and that is my take on holiness. What is holiness? Oh, if you go to Nicaragua, they say that you'll fast on Saturdays and you go to church every time the doors are open, and you don't do this and you don't do this and you don't do this. But my rendition, my version of holiness is I stay close to Jesus. I stay close to the light. And he's always telling me, Brian, don't be so stupid. Brian, don't be so lame. Brian, you know. And he's keeping me, and I'm walking with him by hand in hand. That's my take on holiness. And happy with his holiness. There's no other happiness that can compare with being close to Jesus. There's no other happiness that can be compared to close to Jesus. Look, we're going to go to another verse now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now we need to look at that. We need to look at that. For a palmetto bug to walk on 2 feet and to go to the tanning bed and do certain things for a palmetto bug, that would be impossible. And for man and women to be perfect as God is, that would be impossible. And I think we've read this thing and we've run from this verse because you have to understand how God speaks. Now, the Bible starts off with God speaking and using the word be. And he's speaking and he's creating that the light be, that the waters be, and he's putting order. And that word be, when God says be, he is letting his power flow out of him into that thing. And it is creating, and it is changing, and it is bringing order. When you hear, be holy, oh, that's the power of God that's being released to you. Be holy. And he is sharing his character with you. As I am holy, be holy. And he is pouring out his character on us. It is not a thing of striving, of willpower. Oh, I will not do that. I will not do that. I will not. No, it is a thing of letting God do his perfect work in you. Amen. And staying close to him and staying connected to the Holy Spirit, which is the power within us and the transformation that God's doing. He says, be holy, but he's saying, let the light be, and the light was. Let the earth be, and the earth was. Be ye holy. And there's the power of God to fulfill it. Amen. It's not a thing of human effort. It's a supernatural creation by God. Be ye as I am. Be ye as I am. You know? And so you walk with Jesus, and Jesus said, that's not the way I do things. You correct that. And what is happening? The power of God's there for you. And the power of God touches you, and you are as Jesus is. Glory to God. So, holiness is being close to Jesus, as John was at that moment. And the fact that other disciples knew about his closeness to him. They didn't ask him, hey, John, ask Jesus who's going to be the betrayer. Ask him, John, because we know that you fast, you know, every week. And we know that you know the Torah from backwards to forwards. And we know that, you know, you're... No, they looked, said, this guy's next to Jesus. He's right there, and he can whisper to Jesus, and Jesus can whisper back, and it's no big deal. They are so close. John was the communicator with Jesus for them because of his closeness. Hallelujah. We're going to look at two more verses. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Let's remember that when the Bible says, be holy, as I am holy, it's talking the power of God in action, and it's talking in the present. There's no past tense in that. Oh, I remember. No, it's present. It's always present. It's always present because you always walk with Jesus. You always are close to Jesus. He's reaching out for you. He's calling you. He said, "Hey, come away with me. I'm after you. I'm after you. Jesus is, I'm following you." And when you say, "Okay, Jesus, I recognize you want me. You want time with me. You want me in your presence. Here I am, Lord." And then that power comes. Be ye as I am. Mm-hmm. Matthew 28:19-20 lets us know that Jesus is with us always. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely," this is what's going to make it, this is what allows this to happen, to do all this stuff. "This is what, I am with you always to the very end of the ages." Jesus is with us to the end of the ages. The Holy Spirit didn't leave the earth after the apostles died. The Holy Spirit is here. You can feel it in this place. You can feel it when you get along with the Lord Jesus. You can feel his presence. He's with you. He's with you. I remember when I experienced his presence. I believed in God, even though I was smoking a ton of weed. But I smoked it by the pound. And heavy drinking, anything. I would pull up mushrooms and boil them and see what would happen. Everything. And I believed in God. But I felt like God was a million miles away. I can see the stars. I can't see him, so he must be further than the stars. That was my perspective. But when I got in so much trouble, when I got to the end of my ways, when I got tired of the life I'm living, I knew I needed help. I knew that I dug a hole and I'd fallen into it. My life was a mess. I called on Jesus. I called on Jesus, and he lifted me up. And I realized it was on the campus at Francis Marion. I took my wife there on this trip. I took her and I said, "This is the spot right by this duck pond." I don't know if there's ducks there now, but there were ducks out at the pond by the road. And I sat beside the pond and I called on Jesus. And he came into my life and he was very present, very real. When I walked back to class, when I walked across that campus, Jesus was with me. He was no longer after the stars. He was right there with me. I had a friend walking with me back to class. And I had a new life beginning walking back to class. "I am with you always," he said. That's important. I am with you. Say with me. He is with me. And when you feel like you're not being like him, he's going to let you know. If he's with you, he's "That's not the way I operate. That's not the way I operate," Jesus is going to say. And so you have to say, "I'm going to stay in the light. And I'm going to let God do a work in me. You know, God wash me, cleanse me." And that's holiness. Okay? John 14:19-20. The sound men are getting a little bit. They're ready for what's coming up. Okay. Pastor Steve already warned you that... We're children's pastors. You've already heard that. Once a children's pastor, always a children's pastor. Mm-hmm. John 14:19-20. "Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." I tell you, there's if you can get this, you'll have the position that John had. If you can get this, that he is with you, he is there. And if you walk with him and listen to him, if you open up your ears and if you see the world and let him teach you and show you, then you've got what John had. You've got that close connection, that close relationship. You're on good speaking terms. Stay on good speaking terms with the Lord. Stay on good speaking terms with the Lord. We're going to finish out right now with Psalm 30. Psalm 30. You at home, get Psalm 30. We're going to read the entire psalm. Not the book of Psalms. No, we're going to read Psalm 30. It's 12 verses. This helped me in a time when I was with fever and coughing, and my wife. We were shut into the house, didn't see anybody. There's people right now that are shut in. My family. And I hear about Coach. Coach is being quarantined. And Psalm 30 is God's word for us. Pastor Carl talked last Sunday, adding after Thanksgiving comes praise. Praise and thanksgiving. And you're gonna see three things. I'm gonna add one other list to the list this morning with Psalm 30. You'll see praise, you'll see thanksgiving, and you'll see one other thing this morning. Okay? So we're gonna turn to Psalm 30. And David the psalmist says, this is from the New Living Translation, I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. Hallelujah. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. There's somebody maybe in a hospital room that's going to watch this video. And the power of God's going to come on to them. And he's going to restore their health to them. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. When I was prosperous, I said, nothing shall stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me, and I was shattered. The theme was, let's make America great again, and the economy's the best it's ever been. When I thought everything was good, boom. Everything went bad, right? But God didn't forsake his people. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die, if I sink into the grave? Can my dust praise you? How many of you here can praise him? I can praise him. I need air in my lungs, and I can praise him. Can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. I'm going to prophesy this morning. I see it right there in the Word. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. How many of you believe that after the night, the morning comes? Does the morning always come after the night? The morning always comes after the night. The sun goes down, but the sun comes back up. And the promise of the Lord here is that we have been afflicted, but we will feel and know joy and happiness again. That the sun will go down, but the sun will come up, and he will take off our raiment of mourning. I tell you, I've never lived through a pandemic before. The last one of this magnitude was 1918 through 1920. Much more worse. But I have been through it. This will mark our generation. This will mark our history when it goes back. But it's going to be over. It's going to be over. And we are in the storm, but we don't have to disconnect from the source of joy and happiness and peace. And so morning comes after night, and I believe laughter is coming back to our lives. Laughter is coming back to our lives. I say to you today, the word of the Lord says, laughter, joy and dancing is coming back to our lives. Yeah. We don't serve. Hallelujah. We don't serve a God that just sees a morbid God. We serve a happy God. And he does what he has to do, and he lets things happen. He keeps us close to him, but after the night, morning comes, and he will take off our mourning and put on our dancing clothes. I believe we'll laugh again, and I believe we can always be happy in Jesus. Happy with his holiness, close to him. Okay, I'm going to ask you to all stand on your feet. And you that are at home, stand on your feet too. Go ahead, stand on your feet. You know that everything going in front of that telephone or that monitor, the CIA can see. We can see. People can see you. We know if you're standing up or not. Everybody on their feet. How many of you remember the song, "If You're Saved and You Know It, Clap Your Hands"? Okay, sound man, this was the moment. We already got it. Okay, here we go. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. Okay? If you're happy and you know it, laugh out loud. If you're happy and you know it, laugh out loud. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Laugh out loud. Laugh out loud. You're not doing enough of it. Laugh out loud. If you're close to Jesus, we're happy. We're happy. I was happy on my sick bed because I knew that, you know, I'm close to him. Amen. Let me pray. Pray for those watching and pray for those here. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. And I ask that your power be released in us, that we be all that you're calling us to be. Father, I pray that your power would flow across this auditorium. And I pray your power would flow through the sound of my voice, through this video, and come upon people to restore their health, to restore their joy. And Father, that they can feel that your word is true, that I am with you always. In the name of Jesus, the power of God be released right now. Receive healing, receive joy, receive confidence in God, receive faith, and receive power to be as he is. Amen. Thank you very much.